Either Chris is here or a random stranger has hacked us.
Either way, let's see how it plays out.
Yeah, I mean, we'll do the show either way.
Look, a third person to third person. I don't care.
Beggars can't be choosers.
Except for that one beggar I met that one time.
We don't need to get into that.
Oh, no, I offered her pizza, and she asked if I had a different kind of pizza instead of the pizza that I offered.
Oh, that's so sad to me. The whole thing was sad.
So funny. I was like, hey, do you want some pizza? She was like, y'all don't have any pepperoni? I was like, you can't be a juicer. You can't do that. Excuse me. But I actually said, yeah, we do have pepperoni. And I shuffled all the boxes around and I gave her a pepperoni slice. So I was like, it pays to be a choosy beggar sometimes, I guess.
Hello and welcome to Brews Day Tuesday podcast episode 646. I'm Sam Ginsberg and here's your host, Holly's third favorite husband. It's Zach McCashin.
What up? I'm hosting now. I'm the captain. Remember that? Remember how we all said that? That was like our Austin Powers.
Eat shit, Tyler. You're not here.
You're dead now. Threw your ass off a boat or something. I didn't watch that movie. Should have thrown him off the boat. Otherwise, he can just be the captain again. With us, gotta be a first time appearance, gotta be. Christine, what up?
Hey, yes, definitely first time appearance. I didn't exist before this moment. This is actually my first time existing. Welcome. Can't wait. Welcome. So happy to be here. Welcome. Thank you.
You should watch.
Is this your first Die Hard? It's definitely your first time on this podcast. Is this your first time on a podcast ever? And if so,
no,
are you pretty impressed?
White. You're white. You've been on a podcast.
No, not my first podcast ever.
Damn it.
However, I am impressed, deeply impressed. Okay. The production value, the camera value, the quality of the guests. Listen,
the camera value. You can see the Mario poster I have behind me. Is that what you're saying?
It's production.
And that's what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's quality. I'm so thrilled to be here.
Should we talk about beers?
Let's do it. Sam, what do you have today?
So in my series of beers that my wife has bought for me and put in an advent calendar that she made herself, December series, this is Super Moon Beer Company, which is from Milwaukee. I've never heard of Super Moon, but I guess they're localish. This is Yesteryear's Red Rye IPA. I love a rye IPA. I love rye in general. I like it as a whiskey style because it's more bitter than your average whiskey. And so when you put it in an IPA, it's just like bitter on bitter, which as a man who's angry at the world, even though he's been given every advantage, that really, I'm fond of that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's crisp, and it's rude, and it's bitter, just like my heart. It's not complex, but it's very much working for me.
Where do you feel like it is more rye or more IPA? Like, are you feeling more of the rye, or are you feeling more of the hops?
I'm getting a lot of the rye, which is good. Because I've definitely had rye IPAs where the rye feels like a lie. And the rye is here and the hops are here and it just puts me in a good mood.
Amazing. Well, I hope the good mood doesn't ruin the bitterness within your heart, which is what makes you special.
Don't make me think too much about it or else it'll ruin everything.
Look, we can't hold Sam accountable to everything he says in the last...
My thoughts and my actions.
I have to keep this rolling. Christine, what do you have today?
Yeah, I've got an oatmeal stout from Beguile Brewing. I figure I'm your Chicago guest. I'll get a Chicago beer. This is the Flannel Pajamas from Beguile. It's a 5.4% ABV. It's one of my favorite breweries. I don't have a glass. Is that okay?
It is, but it means you're going to have to pour some into your hand to see what color it is.
Oh, you're so right. It's like, that's not going to help.
It's probably, you said it's a stout?
It's dark. You can kind of see the oily. It's not, that's gross.
Yeah, it's like a ducks.
It's a dark brown. Yeah, it doesn't taste like that though. This is really lovely. I'm not usually a stout person. Like I love a stout when it's cold outside. But I will have like one a year. But I have of late been getting more into them, and this one's really nice. A thing I hate about a stout is when you feel like you have to chew it. Or it's like super, super thick.
Oh man, hard to disagree. That's what I like about a stout. Mm. The thick mouthfeel.
Mouthfeel. It is so smooth. It's very sweet. It's a good dessert beer without being like, hey, idiot, we put s'mores in your beer because you're a baby and you need to drink your s'mores beer.
Oh. Christine, which, I also like that though. It feels like you're targeting me.
No, I will say that as the target baby who loves a beer that tastes like s'mores, this feels like the grown-up version.
I see.
Like it feels sophisticated. This is lovely, and I haven't had this before, which is weird. I'm at Bagai all the time, so.
It's cold as fuck around here. Is it also cold as fuck around there?
Yeah. It is so 90 degrees outside.
This can be your annual stout then.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. No, I'm so happy for the excuse to go pick this up. I got a little 4-pack. The label does say, you know that feeling you get when you wake up on a cold morning in your favorite PJs and you can smell coffee already brewing? That's what this is, but beer. And I both agree with that, and also I don't associate waking up and smelling coffee with beer, but maybe that's a me problem.
That's good.
I don't think that's a problem.
I don't think that's a problem at all.
Thank you for the validation.
That was written by an alcoholic.
I think they're saying this is satisfying in the same way that is satisfying.
Yes. It is. It's very cozy and comforting.
On weekends, I'm always the first one up because my stupid baby yells, and for some reason it's my job because I didn't push it out of me. And if I went downstairs at anywhere between 7 a.m. and 4:30 a.m., depending on when he decides to be an asshole, if there was coffee down there already, I would just like nut in my pants. So I get the feeling that the description on your beer is trying to evoke, even though it's probably not accurate.
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
ale.
Cool. No, a good nutty ale. It's a different thing. Zach, what do you have?
Well, thank you for asking. I've got from Omegang Brewery Omegang, I think they flip it that style. They're in New York. It's called Everything Nice. It is a strong blonde ale with seasonal spices, 9.0 ABV.
Ooh.
It poured out like a nice classic kind of slightly red amber with kind of tiny little soft velvety bubbles on top. It smells like gingerbread a little bit, but there is a spicy smell on it. Still a little like yeasty as well. That's nice. I like that. It's not super boozy. I can't pinpoint necessarily any particular spice except maybe like clove or something. There's a bunch of spiciness sort of vaguely. I assume some cinnamon, but I can't really say that I taste any, but if they're going to be like a winter spice thing, you probably have cinnamon in you. But maybe I'm just looking at the Gingerbread Man cartoon. That's like on the front. There's like a little cartoon Christmas thing. It's nice. It's delightful. It's not overly like, I don't know, too yeasty. I feel like sometimes blondes go into like a too yeasty flavor where they get like almost sour at the end, which I don't really enjoy. It kind of like cloyingly yeasty. So this kind of cuts through it in a nice way that I really like.
Amazing. Yeah, I love a good balance of warming spices in my Christmas beers.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
I'd skip them. Just go straight from late summer into early spring, as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, you're not a Christmas beer person, like, at all.
No, man, fuck it.
Not a pumpkin beer, not a Oktoberfest.
Oh, fuck pumpkin beer, fuck Oktoberfest. Christmas ales. Give me a wee heavy in the winter. Other than that, I'm out.
All your German listeners, just turn this podcast off.
If they existed,
Apple Podcasts.
Tyler and I have talked enough shit about German beer over the course of a decade and change at this point. Like, they were never around.
Oh, you lost the last two, I think, in this moment.
Just boring, man. I don't know. Should we do one of these articles or talk about stuff?
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Let's do it. Let's get one article. Let's get the juices going. Then we'll move on.
Should we start with this sfist.com? I'm sure that's SFist. SFist? It's San Francisco. But they must know that the URL is sfist.com. We've done some stuff about Anchor already, about how they're, like, definitely shutting down for real and they're running away from for real. And then the point of this article is, no, they're not leaving. But I thought they were done, so I don't know what's going on. Kind of forgot that Tyler wasn't going to be here to read the article to me. So that's what I got for you.
I like the idea that, like, to me, there's no context here, and it's an article about nothing changing. Anchor's not leaving San Francisco. I'm like, okay, that's fine.
Yeah, I guess if you didn't have the prior context of, like, the fact that maybe they were, it would just be like, the Washington Monument staying right there in D.C. Okay, great. It's not really news.
Nothing wrong with Tokyo. I'm here to confirm.
That's exactly my experience. I'm like, oh, good to know that Anchor Brewing, nothing happening over there.
All good over here.
Do you mean to tell me you don't listen to every episode of this show?
I mean to tell you that, yes, I do mean to tell you that. I'm here to say.
You and everyone else.
You know, okay, well, if we are talking articles, though, I do have, well, this is from July of this year. That's probably old. Never mind. About a billionaire who promised to save San Francisco's historic Anchor Brewing. Has gone radio silent. You guys heard about this?
Is this on the same website?
Okay, this is on sfgate.com, not sfit, not sfit.
Sfit.
Different.
They prefer sfgate.
Yes. Ain't no party like an sfist party.
So, is it Elon Musk or somebody? Is it one of those?
No, it's shits? It is a Chobani yogurt billionaire. I'm going to butcher this. Hamdi Ulukaya purchased the country's oldest craft brewery in May 2024.
Now, when you said, can you guess who said this? I thought maybe it would be someone I'd heard of.
What? Oh, no. I said, I'm going to butcher this. Not, can you guess who said this?
You don't know the guy who made Chobani yogurt, Hamdi Ulukaya?
Rookie.
I still don't.
Got a holographic Ulukaya in my billionaire binder.
Man, you really say that, but it's like we're not that far out from, like, a bullshit Fallout future where you just, like, buy booster packs of billionaires to further the hero worship of the oligarch.
Yeah. And I love that. I can't wait for that.
Oh, okay.
That's going to be sick. When I need to do it, I think I'm going to be the best in the mines. I think that's where I should go.
I got to tell you, I'm fascinated by this developing story of the closure, not closure of Anchor Brewing Co.
Oh, can you explain it to us? Because we haven't been paying attention.
No, I think you're being facetious and that it has happened on Path Out because of this podcast.
Only kind of.
Well, I'm here as a guest.
Tyler would have loved this. Tom Boback, the editor-in-chief of American Craft Beer, apologized for the error and blamed his use of ChatGPT for the misinterpretation of the standards reporting.
So someone who's supposed to be a journalist fed a response into ChatGPT and reported on it without doing any verification?
Yeah, American Craft Beer misrepresented the report of what was going on with Anchor Brewing because ChatGPT summarized it. Oh, there's also a sick in their quote, like SIC, which is never good. I feel like it's really passive-aggressive to throw in there. You're like, I'm just going to quote it the way they wrote it. You know what I mean? I'm not going to fix anything so that you know this person's
an idiot. Oh, because they misspelled San Francisco in an article for SFIST.com. They misspelled San Francisco.
Well, they kept writing SFISTO, and that was like, they're like, that can't be right. That can't be right.
The word San Francisco is appears twice in the same sentence, and they only spelled it right once. Just like copy paste it over itself.
Yikes. I love that.
I do love, so in the last graph of this article, they make a couple cute beer jokes. We know folks are missing their Anchor Christmas ale this holiday season, but hopefully any ChatGPT misinformation about Anchor Brewing leaving SF will hopefully twice, fizz out and go flat as soon as possible.
I think you calling out hopefully twice in that sentence is really clutch because that makes me feel like ChatGPT also wrote this part.
I'm so sure. Oh, poor Hamdi Ulukaya and his Chobani fortune was not enough to save it, or was, and has been mismanaged.
To be honest, I entered this article even more confused than before. I didn't know anything had happened to Anchor. I'm not sure if anything has. I don't know what journalists to believe anymore.
Tyler, write in and clarify what's going on here, because I will not read this.
I refuse. I can't. It hurts my head, and it makes me angry.
Sometimes I get sleepy when I read.
That's the best of
us. As previously discussed, an angry man at his heart.
Yeah. Speaking of things that make me angry, my boring life. And as a result of my life being boring, when I have to do content for the show, often I prep a game instead of talking about things. Do you want to
play a little game?
Oh, it can't be beers through the years, so that's really
no. I think that would put you at a substantial advantage if that's what we're.
Weirdly, playing. I don't think it would. I don't think it would. It's basically the same. Like randomly guessing on all of them is the same as me trying to remember.
Well, no, because you have a chance, and Christine would have no points available. So it'd be something versus nothing. But that's
random
not what we're
Tyler
doing.
Beers, yeah. Okay, fine.
So I didn't know, it was, like, from a production perspective, I didn't know whether or not Christina was going to be on, so I prepped something with just me and Zach in mind, which is a little game, but you guys should play co-op, or do you guys want to do co-op or competitive?
Let's co-op this.
Okay. This is going to seem weird. Christine, blood type? You got a blood type on you? What's your blood type?
On me? Here's the thing is, I could just tell you, I'm not going to tell you my actual blood type, because I don't know it. I'm A positive.
You don't know your blood type?
I would recommend learning your blood type.
Just like...
How does one know one's blood type?
The doctor tells you.
Which doctor? No, not a witch doctor. A real medical doctor.
Let me write this down.
Real doctor?
Some sort of real doctor.
Which one? Like do you just call him?
I think it was the first time I gave blood, they told me. But I'm sure
they'll tell you, but also
if you ever have blood work at your PCP, they'll
I get blood work once a year and I don't know my blood type. I'll look into this.
I bet you it's in a chart somewhere. Even if it's not a chart you've seen.
Just because this is sort of the theme of today's so far.
Japanese horoscope. Why are we starting with blood type?
We'll get there.
I'm gonna go ahead and ask at GPT what my blood type is.
So if it knows, that is legitimately frightening.
Here's the thing is ChatGPT says I'm O positive.
Okay,
great.
O positive.
Well, you're not on theme for this game, but you're welcome to play anyway, because it would be really weird to just make you sit there and listen.
Wait, hold on. You asked me about blood type, and then you were like, well...
Fucking give me 5 seconds and I'll tell you. Jesus Christ.
O positive, get the fuck out of here.
So, Zach and I share a blood type.
AB positive, baby.
Oh. We're both AB positive, the universal receiver, so like, the most...
Oh, my.
Oh, shit, wow, cool.
Isn't that wild? Isn't that rad?
Whoa, yeah. One of the odds. It's one of the rarest blood types. Mm-hmm. This is crazy.
Yep. That's me, baby.
So this game, on that theme, is called Hey, Be Positive. So
I love it. I don't know what it is, but I love it.
So I have 5 different movies, and I'm going to put you in the shoes of the protagonist of the movie by telling you the circumstance you're in. You have to surmise the movie and then tell me why you should be positive about it. I'm going to tell you a bad thing happening to you as the protagonist of this movie. You're going to tell me why it's actually a good thing that all this happened to you. I'm hoping that my first one is easy enough to serve as an example. If it doesn't, this whole thing is fucked.
We're gonna try it out, and I'm confident that Zach and I can rip our way to I was gonna say justice, rip our way to justice, but
like we're gonna be amazing.
Oh, girl, I hope so, because this is all I got. Your estranged wife's work party is being held hostage.
It's Die Hard.
Okay, sure. But you have to tell me why you're happy about this situation.
Well, I'm happy about that because let me do my spin on this. I am a frustrated New York cop. This is a great opportunity to shoot some people and also to sexually reconnect with my ex-wife.
Do we have any other answers?
And I think that this really gets me out of the obligations I have to this holiday party and my wife's coworkers, because we are on the rocks, and lets me really reinvest in what I'm passionate about, which is crawling through air ducts and jumping between buildings and generally causing some mayhem. And you know what? I think that I can really embrace a chance to just shoot some guys. I mean, listen, Zach's right. There's just really not any.
Comes
other,
down to just guys shooting at some point.
Guys shooting, it really is what it is, and not having obligations necessarily to my wife, who I'm on the outs with,
and also like and getting Argyle, lots of glass in Argyle. Your tootsies.
Well, not mine. I've got feet of steel.
So the answer I was looking for is that you get to be best friends with Reginald Vell Johnson.
Cool.
He was the cop. But you had the right movie. You get the point if we're keeping score, and we aren't. There are 5 of these, so strap in.
Ready.
Number 2, your wife recently died, then some guys killed your dog and stole your car.
Mm. Okay, sweet. So we're the Wictopus.
It's John Wick. Should we be naming the movie first, or do you want us to be positive first
so
and then name the movie?
I'm going to say, if you come up with a right conclusion and don't name the movie, you still get a point.
Oh, okay.
Like, if you had said, I just love kicking Hans Gruber in the face, I'd have been like, well, maybe they don't even know it's Die Hard, but they're right that he... Did he kick him? I don't think he kicked him, actually. But
he never
once metaphorically...
He kind of just takes his watch off, really, if you think about it.
Yeah, kicking is for bitches. He only punches.
Let's see. I think the best thing about this is that I get to just chat with Willem Dafoe. I get to stay in a nice hotel for basically for free. And also, I can just get a new dog.
Honestly, I don't have... I definitely have some builds on that, but I think that is really... That's really the crux of the reasons to be positive. Whether it's Willem Dafoe or Ian McShane, it doesn't really matter who I'm excited to be talking to. But, like...
Those are both dudes who I want to be buds with, but the answer that we were looking for is you get to be friends with Lance Reddick.
Okay, so it's black men that we get to be friends with is the only good thing that can happen in a movie.
Now, so I had plenty more. I had John Wick lore at the ready, but I do love giving Lance Reddick his flowers. Rest in peace.
I love Lance Reddick. Ian McShane, I feel like, would be a really scary person to drink with. And I feel like Willem Dafoe, I would have nothing to talk about with. Like, if there was a person that I was just, like, alone on a train with, and it was Willem Dafoe, I'd be like, fuck, say something. And I'd be like, heard you have a giant weird penis. Oh, damn it.
I was going to say, that's what we have in common. That's what I would talk to him about.
Me too. My penis is freak penis, too.
Should we go in the bathroom and look at each other's dicks?
He'd be like, why go to the bathroom? It's just us on the train. You're like, oh, God, he's right.
What if he's incredibly normal and, like, kind of boring?
Probably is.
I think that he probably is. I think he gets all his weird shit out in movies and just is, like, a boring dude.
It's like Lars von Trier calls him up and he's like, oh, fuck, I gotta be weird with Lars von Trier again.
I have to pretend I don't like watching golf or whatever. All right, number three. Your friends get attacked by aliens whom you have to defeat to keep your freedom.
My friends. Okay.
Your friends get attacked by aliens whom you have to defeat to keep your freedom.
So
if you want a hint, I can give you a hint.
It's just that it's a wide breadth of reasons to be hopeful.
I just keep thinking Space Jam. But Michael Jordan wasn't friends with the Looney Tunes at the start.
No, they're not the ones who got attacked first.
Oh, it's true. It's true.
You don't think he was friends with King Charles?
I guess I don't even think they got attacked. He sort of just touched a ball and went... Also, I don't know if... I guess at that time, Michael Jordan was friends with Charles, but I bet he hated Sean Bradley. There's no chance that they were friends. But
they definitely the same agent. That's the only reason Sean Bradley was in the movie.
Fuck yeah. The best thing about it is you get to when you come back to the league, you're in a really good position in the standings because Charles Barkley has been dog shit for presumably like half a season, it seems like. And on top of that, you get to finally learn how to dunk from half court so you never have to pass.
That would still be worth 3 points, right? If you
yeah, it has to be
even a dunk. If you take off from behind the 3-point line, that should still be worth 3 points.
I think it's got to be.
I think so. Although, yeah, I mean, there's no rule that says it's more points. Air Bud rules, you know what I mean?
The answer we were looking for was you get to be friends with Bugs Bunny.
Oh, see, I was gonna go with no one's talking about your gambling debts. They're just talking about the aliens.
Maybe that's a good one. yeah. And Lola Bunny's in that. I don't think Michael Jordan really... Like, appropriately, Michael Jordan does not comment on how weirdly hot they made that rabbit. But they did. And that was someone's directorial choice. They were like, no. Make her, like, way hotter than that. They're like, okay, but Bugs Bunny doesn't look like a guy. They're like, no. Way. Crank it up to, like, 11 on that. And then someone was like, oh, God. And they had to draw it, like, 100,000 times because it was a movie.
Well, speaking of, what if it was
the opposite, though? Sorry, but what if they drew Lola Bunny too hot, like so hot, and they're like, oh my God, I cannot give Sam this feedback again. We have to shift the movie like this because he keeps drawing the bunny way too fucking hot.
That's the least hot that he's drawn it. And that's the best one we have. Truly
the ugliest one.
The most chaste version.
Is yeah, what we got in
shorts on this one. Thank God.
Finally. We got to get out of here. Number 4 of 5. We're almost there. You go through a dream heist and no one is sure if you're still asleep.
Yep. So, oh man, you get to be friends with so many guys in this. You get to be friends with...
There are like 10 right answers. I have one written down, but there are lots of right answers.
You get to be friends with Tom Hardy. You get to be friends with the guy from Last Samurai, for a little bit. And who else do you have to be friends with?
Who's the guy from Last Samurai? Wasn't that Tom Cruise? Who was Last Samurai?
Oh, the Japanese guy.
Oh, didn't Last Samurai star Tom Cruise? Am I crazy?
I wouldn't say star. I'd say star Ken Watanabe, but, you know, you can think whatever you think.
Well, if you Google Last Samurai cast, the first thing that pops up is Tom Cruise.
Tom Cruise is in the movie. You're just over here.
We're not saying he's not in the movie.
You're centering the white savior narrative rather than the native peoples of Japan, Sam.
When you say the guy from, I think of the first guy from.
I do top billing. We do Laurel and Hardy versus the Mummy. I think the Mummy. I think the best thing about Inception is that, like, you get to go on walk on a sideways wall. I think that's the best part.
Yeah, completely agreed. And you get to, every time you're like, I think this isn't weird enough, you get to go to a weirder place and where the rules are different and there are still guns and still fighting in cool suits.
Ah, sorry, we were looking for, you get to be friends with Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Oh, over Tom Hardy? I feel like I'm way more excited to hang out with Tom Hardy.
Reasonable minds can differ.
As long as Tom Hardy was one of the 10 right answers.
Yeah, that had. I didn't actually make a list, but I assume so. All right, last one, and we can finally move on. Your life goes off the rails, and you want to get into Brad Pitt's pants. And we're talking young Brad Pitt. We're talking before he was Brad Pitt.
Okay, so I think we're in Thelma and Louise. I feel like we've, you know, and then, so that means the best thing is I get to be friends with Susan Sarandon and I get to drive in a fancy convertible.
You get to be friends with Susan Sarandon is the answer I was looking for. I also would have accepted you get to be friends with Gina Davis.
I mean, that's a win-win. That's a great yeah, beers with them.
It's both.
And that has been the first and, I pray to God, the only ever edition of A, Be Positive.
Oh, that's great.
I had a good time. Yeah.
Yom Kippur, we should do a Be Negative, where like you read a happy movie and I get to complain about something. I get to nitpick something in it, just something really Jewish.
Give me 10 examples real quick, just so I understand.
Okay, so we do like Brave Little Toaster, right? And I describe vaguely the plot of Brave Little Toaster. And you're like, yeah, you got to do whatever that movie was about, but you got traumatized by all the imagery from Brave Little Toaster.
Or that vacuum was like, such an asshole.
Or then the air conditioner tried to kill itself? Yeah, fucked up.
Yep. Yeah, pretty fucked up.
Also, or like Sleepless in Seattle, how cute, how sweet, how lovely. What a huge pain in the ass to like meet at the top of the Empire State Building. Like the elevator security. It's cold.
I'm sorry, I don't think dudes have seen that movie.
I'm in the wrong podcast.
I've seen Sleepless in Seattle. I watched every movie with Billy Crystal.
Get off the show, man. What are you doing?
Love Billy Crystal. Billy Crystal's like the best you could be.
At blackface.
What? You think
I've got bad news for you, Zach, which is that's Tom Hanks. Leaves the Seattle's Tom Hanks and Meg Ryan. You're thinking of When Harry Met Sally.
Oh, shit! Oh,
you're right.
You're double dumb, dog!
You're right.
This is what happens when you bring a woman onto the beer podcast. Is she schools you on Nora Ephron rom-coms, I guess. But no, let's go with the Brave Little Toaster example. It's better.
Yeah, so I'll write up like 8 more of those for Yom Kippur, and we'll do I'll run it, and then you and Tyler.
And you'll definitely remember to do that 9.5 months from now, when Yom Kippur comes back around.
Well, yeah, it's a lunar calendar, so yeah, a couple more moons, about 8 moons from now or whatever.
Yeah, just a couple racks of moons.
Gotta get through Spot, and gotta get through the other ones.
We gotta pivot. What are we doing now?
We got to pivot to this weed article. Got to do it. From Malive.com. Which clearly not as powerful as S-Fist, but still okay.
Legal marijuana among five reasons why craft beer... Sorry, I thought we were doing it in unison. It's changing in Michigan. Ah!
Damn it. Okay. Yep.
I have to go deal with my feral children. You guys cover it.
Yeah, we got you. We got you.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm going to be honest. I don't know what article we're talking about or where this has come from.
Open the chat.
But we'd be happy.
open the chat. It's the second link up. Be a little speech bubble to the top right.
There we go. Oh, there we go.
Let's see what the other reasons are. Yeah, COVID, probably not great.
Economic pressures. A difficult economic climate hitting breweries with a dual threat, rising operational costs and decreased consumer spending. At the same time, primary demographic for beer drinkers. What? Beer smoothies?
Just hard smoothies. Just alcoholic smoothies called Smooge, which is gross.
That's upsetting. Ate that a lot. That. And I'm not interested. Oh, with a J? Smooge with a J?
Yeah, I don't like that at all.
I work in marketing and comms, and I gotta say, this makes me feel a little better about myself that someone was like, yeah, I'll go ahead and file the Smooge copyright. It's gonna go really great for us.
Here's my product. I'm gonna pitch me. Alcoholic smoothie. Alcoholic smoothie. Smooge is just Smooge and like a big whiteboard. I mean, it's like patent pending. Nobody takes Smooge. That's my idea. That's mine.
Hey, sharks. I'm looking for $50,000.
That's $40 billion buy-in. It's just Smooge on the ground floor.
Mark, 2% ownership of Smooge.
We get together, and we just Smooge all over these people.
I was dealing with my butthead children, and I heard you guys talk about Smooge, and I was like, I don't know what bit they're doing. I don't know where they came up with this term Smooge, and then I scroll down, and that's just the term.
We are discussing a legitimate business interest in the state of Michigan.
Now I'm just like, how much trouble would I get in if the next time I was being intimate towards the end of the R, I was like, I'm gonna Smooge.
Something would happen. I think, like, it's summon a genie or something, I bet. Like, something would happen for sure.
Well, then I should probably try it just to be safe.
There'd be consequences, that's for sure.
He turned into Kazam or something, for sure. Oh, man.
That's an interesting superhero origin story. I turn into a super strong, invincible guy every time I Smooge.
I just got a Smooge real quick. Can you imagine getting the shakes real bad and you have to like sneak out of your kid's violin recital and just go pound a Smooge in the back room, in the bathroom really quick? Like you're on rock bottom.
The idea that Smooge is like really, oh my God.
You're shotgunning a Smooge. I assume it comes in a nasty old can. You're just like in the back just shotgunning a Smooge and it's really difficult because it's so viscous. It's just like, oh my God.
I think if they're doing it right, it comes in like a Capri Sun pouch.
Yeah.
Oh, no, it comes in a tall can.
Fools!
Like, are you Googling Smooge right now?
Yes. Drinksmooge.com is what we're... Cool.
Just don't turn off safe search.
What are they doing?
It's tropical. Joke's on you. I'm in my work laptop.
Smooge hard smoothies. That's really weird. Also, I don't like that it's lightly carbonated. That reminds me of like those drinks you get at Japanese restaurants sometimes out of the cooler, and you're like, yep, they shouldn't have carbonated this dairy product. Like milk or whatever.
Not everything needs. Ew. Not everything needs carbonation. It's like not everything needs to be cauliflower.
I don't know what the flavor tropical vacation is, but I kind of want to try it.
It's in the name. It's all there. Favorite. International drinks because it's like it reminds me of a kid with asthma. It's like they just named it after the least cool person who could ever exist. It's just like some kid named Milkus. Like, oh, get out of here, Milkus. And he's just like,
Milkus pissed his pants. Shut up, Milkus.
His catchphrase. He's trying to bond with everybody. He goes, Milkus pissed his pants. Just pointing two thumbs right back at his chest. Like, Milkus, you're the worst. We hate you,
Milkist. Not again. Not
again. You peed someone else's pants, Milkist.
Am I the only one picturing Tyler when we talk about Milkist?
Probably. Probably.
I'm picturing him too.
Classic Milkist. Pockets full of cottage cheese just hitting the streets.
That's an upsetting thing that you just said.
Holy fuck. But yeah, other than the bad shit, it's like legal marijuana slightly. I think trying to get people to drink alcoholic smoothies is probably point number two. Competition, yeah, from weed stuff is great. The thing is, what sucks is like as like a kind of a weed lightweight when it comes to like beverages. But a drink is like on a bar is like, hey, if you want this cocktail, it's got like 10 milligrams of THC in it. I'm like, how the fuck am I gonna get home? Like, I can have an actual cocktail and then drive myself home if I need to. You can't get me, like, super stoned off of, like, one drink and be like, it's the same. I'm like, this is, like, you should have driven me home after you gave this to me.
The most I've ever had in a beverage was 10 milligrams, and I had that at home. And I wouldn't have been able to get to my house from a bar. I was barely able to get to my bed. I got confused about where I was in my own home.
10 milligrams of carbonated THC hits different than 10 milligrams of like gummy THC. It fucks you up in a different way.
I'm too much of a rookie on the whole vibe, but I don't smoke at all. It's all edibles. So it's like part gummies and part bevs. And I feel like I should be able to lock into my number. But I don't know. It's always different every time, and I can never predict it, even though it seems like it should be repeatable.
I think THC is a kind of a terrible bar drink, because with alcohol, the more drinks I have, the more fun I have being out in public. It just gets better and better until there's a very steep drop-off where it is not better. But there's a strong, steady increase until there is not. It's the opposite with weed drinks. I'm probably having the most fun before I have it. And then I get more and more introverted and weird and anxious. And then I need to go
home.
And
then you just want to watch anime for a while.
Yeah.
I have never met anybody who is like, oh, I need 5 milligrams of weed and then I'm ready to go out. Like, that's just not a thing.
No. So I can't imagine that's really the thing. I think it's more just that, like, people don't want to go out at all anymore. I think, like, post-COVID, I have to force myself to go out and do social things, because if I don't, like, I won't. And I'll be like, that's fine with me. And then I'll be like, why am I sad? Why have I been sad for 2 weeks? And, like, 2 weeks straight. It's like, oh, you haven't seen anybody. And you're like, oh, yeah.
You don't have emotional object permanence.
But yeah,
that's what this podcast is. This is all of my social interactions. I come from my basement into this microphone. It's very sad.
I'm having a great time. I don't think it's sad. don't be sad. Have a smooge.
Be smooge.
Do you think we can get a sponsorship if we reach out?
Yes. Yes.
Now, have you been listening to this podcast? Because I have.
Smooge has been listening to the Smooge counter, and their website's going off like nuts when this MP3 kind of hits the waves. They're like, the amount of references to Smooge is quantupled. And they're like, oh my God, I don't even know.
I'm sure they're thinking, I like how these three losers were really mean to us. We should give them some money.
Excuse me, I like how these two losers. I want to be clear. Sam, Zach and I were very mean to the Smooge brand. You just came in partway through. I feel like you have plausible.
Well, but then I did my whole Smooge riff. That they don't want that. Oh, they don't want none of that.
Or they do.
This is their slogan, I'm pretty sure. It's on their website. I'm gonna smooge.com. I think that it's not that I don't think it's gonna be good. I don't know if it's gonna be good, but I know that it's the funniest alcohol to imagine someone desperately drinking. Like, there can't be a funnier alcohol to be at rock bottom drinking.
I don't know, maybe just a bottle of vermouth?
That's gross. That's gross. But if you cracked open, if you dug through a dumpster to find a half full bottle of Smooge, like, I feel like that's way worse than a
bottle of vermouth. Although, if you're specifically seeking out Smooge or vermouth, I feel like they're just different types of upsetting.
Yeah.
No, I said it out loud. No. If you're dumpster diving for Smooge, that's way worse.
Dumpster diving for Smooge sounds like me in college, if you know what I'm talking about. I don't know.
Because it's worse. Vaguely sexual.
It's something. It's something.
Right. Right. We're on the same page that it is something.
I don't think if I did anything fun.
What do you want to say? Has to talk about something fun. It's time for that.
Man, I want to say no. I want to say I didn't have any fun at all. Ever even once. We talked because I was on. We talked about Thanksgiving, right? We talked about New York, which I did and was cool. To the last 2 weeks, has anything good or exciting happened?
I know. Can you imagine how tough it must be to be on this show every week instead of every month?
I can't. Literally, I cannot.
That's why I come up with stupid games all the time. My life is quite boring.
I like the game. I thought it was very, very fun.
Had a good time.
Well, I mean, Christine, you haven't been on in at least a month, maybe more. I forget, 2 months, 3 months, something.
You have a whole lifetime of experiences to draw from. You can tell your favorite anecdote of your whole life right now.
That's way too much pressure.
You can tell any of your
just like off the top of your head, most hilarious bit that's ever occurred to you.
You know what? I'm not going to do that. But I'm going to tell you. I will tell you two stories.
Okay.
And the first one is very relevant to our discussion. So I did, for those of you who may not have heard me on this podcast before, because again, I've been on plenty of times. You can ignore it.
Mostly on the Patreon feed, so they might not cut out subscribers.
And also I'm on like the upper tiers. Yeah, exactly. But I did, my background is in corporate communications and marketing and all that kind of fun stuff. So I got curious about our friends at Smooge. And I did look up their organic web traffic. And just kind of seeing here, first of all, their traffic is down this month, which is a pretty big bummer. It's down by one click per month. It's at 186 clicks per month in the month of December.
And we've just accounted for 3 clicks.
In November. Probably more. I'm looking here. They really do need our help, our friends at Smooge. It looks like they did have a pretty big bump in June of 2025 with 1,458 clicks. So that's exciting for them. But otherwise, really just not doing too great as a brand.
And so you would consider to reading statistics to be an anecdote? Is that what I'm to glean here?
No, I thought that you might find that interesting and fun, Sam. This is your weirdly confrontational podcast, Kat.
Let me show you guys something hilarious. Here's the data coming in on Smooge. We got the back room folks. They're calling it. They're showing us our Smooge tracker.
Oh my god. This is why you only get Christine content when you are mid to high level Patreon subscriber.
Wait, hold on. I'm getting some from Blitzer in the Smooge combat room. Wolf, what is it? Oh man, it's bloodbath over.
Oh my god, it's well now it is. They've only gotten 180 clicks. Whole life
is that bad? I don't have any frame of reference. Is that pretty bad?
Yes, it's terrible.
Is it bad enough that you want a podcast no one listens to talk about you? Some
I wouldn't say no one listens to it. You listen to it, right?
Well, I have to edit it.
Wait, check how many clicks. Check how many clicks bruise2s.com has had in the last month. Man. Let's see if Smooge gets the last laugh.
That is for that's for the highest Patreon subscribers. Do you want, I'm happy to do that if you really want to. But I worry it would make you sad.
It's probably two would be my guess. Because I upload an episode and also Mary uploads an episode of the other podcast. Most weeks, not every week.
That's part of the whole network. I see. Well, I will look it up. I was in DC I was traveling for work and I was at zero organic traffic, but 22 referring domains, 220 backlinks. That means that like people you're linked to things.
Wait. Zero organic traffic. I'm on there right now because I forgot what number episode this was, and I had to go on the website to remember.
I went on the website earlier today as well. Maybe it has to refresh overnight.
No, that's from search. Like you haven't, you're not ranking high in the Google searches, is what that is.
We gotta bump those numbers.
So I need to Google the name of my podcast and then scroll down for like a while and then click on that.
If you really want to up your organic traffic, yeah, your discoverability. Look, we can get into we'll get into brand strategy later, Sam.
Yeah, help us with our brand strategy. What are we? So here's the deal. Do you think we need a punchier name, like some sort of like ejaculate noise or like substance? Do you think that would help?
I think most of those are really taken, unfortunately.
Or what about a signature sound effect?
Ladies, let's have a party.
Could be fun.
Just like honestly, that one. We've
already... I think that's really good for your demographic. Whoever it is.
Of people who grew up in Chicago in the 90s, because that's just Scottie Pippen from 30 years ago.
People who eat sandwiches off the floor when they're standing straight up on their end. Ladies, let's eat this sandwich off a gym floor. Okay. That's pretty much the commercial. We're going to send you a commercial in Capitol so you have to watch it. It's insane.
It's all right, cool. Yeah, thank you.
Think about that for your jobs. Let's see what this kind of marketing does for you. See what Mr. Submarine can do for you.
So I was in D.C. For a work trip, and I was staying at, it's like a brand new hotel, brand newly renovated hotel. I don't know about y'all, but I like, first of all, I love hospitality workers. Great, lovely. But there gets to a point where they are too earnest and too in your business. I have never had more people offer to help me with things I did not need help with than walking through this JW Marriott. I had one roller bag, very, very small, and that was it for my one night stay. And people would be like, "Miss, please, can I take your bag? Can I punch the elevator for you? Can I show you over here?" I had someone offer to hold my, like, take my hands and lead me to the escalator.
Is that people wanting tips for everything?
I don't think so, because no one else was, I don't think so. It was just, it made me uncomfortable because of how many people were going out of their way to help me with things that it didn't even occur to me to ask for help for.
Because you're a competent adult, so you know how to operate an elevator?
I suppose, although I will say, they didn't have kind of complicated, weird elevators where you had to like scan your key and then enter your room or your floor, and then it would tell you what elevator to go. Have you been in these? Where you walk in and then it takes you to a floor, but like there's no internal keypad. You just go in.
Oh, right. And then the spikes just start slowly coming in towards you, and you have to
sort of exactly.
And before you get smooshed.
And it gets smooshed. Yeah.
Call us smooch.
You know when you're going insane in a hotel with your wife and son, and you keep having these dreams where just the walls are just seeping smooch, and all you can think about is murder?
Is drinking delicious mooge,
carbonated slightly, which is the right amount.
But hey, let's be positive. Think of how much writing that you are getting done while you're on this trip.
What do you mean? All it says is all smooge and no smooge makes smooge a dull smooge. What is this? My novel. Oh Jesus!
It seems like happening this you place. Had a little more you wanted to gripe about with all the people being very nice to you at that hotel.
Sounds I'm just trying to tell a story, man. Listen, I had a lovely experience at the JW Marriott in Reston, Virginia. Call us, sponsor us. But it was the effort of all the hospitality workers was so earnest. I was so concerned about them. I was like, it's okay, you're doing a good job. But I felt a need to be like reassuring. They were like so excited. The man who checked me in, who oddly enough, his name was Zen, as in like, calm, was the least calm person I've ever met in my life. Was just like, yeah, oh my, I'm so excited. You're just so happy to have you here. And I was like, I didn't have a choice, but I'm happy to be here, I guess. Not being on an airplane. And our sweet poor server, like, he dropped a glass of wine and it broke and spilled wine all over the table, all over him, all over, a little all over me. And I just watched panic go his face, and I was like, oh no, oh you poor child. And then, you know, I yelled and I screamed and I threw the glass in his face, and and all of that type thing, then I think they took him up back and didn't see him again. But like, I don't know, he just was so weird about it. No, it was everyone was so nervous that anything would go wrong for like this very
that
human
makes me
mistake.
Feel like there's a manager somewhere that's a psycho. That's the vibe I get from that.
And we're like on a, we're on this like site visit, and we're, you know, we're talking, I do events, we're talking about Soundbleed or whatever, and the sales manager pulls me and he's like, I just want you to know that our staff takes that very, very seriously, and we had an event where people were worried about sound, and they were so impressed with how quiet and silent and unnoticeable our staff was, and I was like, okay, that's weird. It's weird that you are making a big deal about this, like, what's happening?
Your staff's fine.
Soundbleed is just weird. They were like so eager to please, because they understand, and also that's a story from my past 2 weeks.
You went to a haunted
You've
hotel.
Only gone and done it.
It was yes. Yeah. Oh, also this isn't interesting, but neither is the rest of us then, so it's fine. Sam, you did just talk about how you could not come up with anything interesting. So I'm here, I'm trying to help. There was a holiday party that was happening at this hotel, with the most confusing dress code. And I say this because I saw a man in a like a hokey sweater with Christmas lights, like with a Grinch face on it. And I was like, oh, cool, coming holiday party, whatever. You're like the guy in the Grinch sweater. I got you. And then this like group of women in like bandage dresses and like green heels walked by, also from the same party. And then I went up and there were like a couple of guys in like regular suits and ties. And then someone else in like a whole ball gown. It was just very confusing. And this is my PSA, which is you got to be clear on your dress code. You got to provide specifics, because I cannot imagine that group of people was provided the same set of instructions. Was provided a clear set of instructions, I should say. That's very
it's the holiday party, and that's it.
Yeah, which is a mistake.
I also got it and ran off.
I'm thinking. Cut a hole in my pants, paint one nut red, one nut green, to show that I'm festive, and then put on like a plague doctor mask so no one can know who I am, and also scary.
I don't go to jail. I would plague doctor.
Yeah, I was gonna say, great way to get immediately arrested.
Oh, I put the plague doctor mask on over my crotch holes, and I tuck each nut into the eye of the plague doctor mask. So the only time people would even see it is if they're looking, and you go, why are you looking? And you make a huge scene.
Why do you love and looking at my multicolored nut so much, you freak?
Yeah. And then you, you know, when you panic, you eject a black smooch on and then you escape.
But because you have a plague doctor mask, you're safe.
Right. I can inhale the smooge fumes and I'm okay.
Right. Yes. Because the sachet of flowers in the nose.
Of herbs and flowers. Yeah. You got cilantro wedged in your beak so the smooge can't kill you. So you're fine.
Was it cilantro?
No, I think it was just some other flower. I think you're pretty much right. It's just random dried flowers or something. They
probably didn't have some.
Whatever they could find.
When was cilantro invented?
I don't know. Is that's got to be a European one, right? That's not like a New World one.
It feels Italian like, to me, but I don't know.
Well, tacos are ours. So when they talk shit, they're like, "That's not a real pizza." I'm like, you wouldn't even fucking have pizza if it weren't for us. Shut the fuck up.
And by us, I mean Native Americans.
And by us, I mean colonialism. You're welcome. But we are also. Tell me now.
Well, as I'm looking here, first of all, I think I did not know is cilantro is the Spanish word for coriander. But they're different foods.
No, they're the same thing.
So coriander seed is just the seed of the cilantro plant?
Yeah. If in England, they refer to cilantro as fresh coriander because it's just like, from a botanical perspective, it's the same item.
Interesting. Well, here's my pop quiz. Where do you think cilantro originated?
I said Italy earlier. I'm sticking with it.
Italy, Zach.
Spain.
You are astoundingly, you're specific and like correct. The Mediterranean basin, with strong evidence pointing to Southern Europe and Northern Africa as its native region.
I like Spain to be. Yeah, Italy's in there too. We'll call it.
Yeah, I think we can call it. I think that's it. We did it.
You know what? We can't call it until we rate our beers. Right. So we're going to go around the horn here. Christine, what did you think of your beer? What were you drinking and what did you think of it?
I am drinking from the great Beguile Brewing here in Chicago, Illinois. The Flannel Pajamas Oatmeal Stout, 4% ABV. And I love it. It's lovely. It's easy. It's a good, easy drinking stout, which is usually you don't pair those two things together. It's enough of a dessert beer to be like a little treat, but not enough for it to be weirdly filling. I've got some chocolate covered pretzels I'm going to have with the rest of this one, and I think I'm gonna have another. I'm gonna give it do we do out of 10?
Yeah,
you out of 10, you get one decimal place.
Incredible. I'm gonna give it let's do a 9. I'm gonna do it a straight 9.
Wow, coming in hot.
I know.
And are there individuals or like segments of the beer drinking population to whom you would recommend it?
Yeah. Oh, that's a good question.
If you like X, you might like this type of a thing.
Sure. If you are someone who you like a little taste of like your husband's porter, your husband, I don't know, the audience of this podcast, the gender demographic.
They're theoretical, but if they existed, they would be male, I guarantee it.
I'm reading the tea leaves. But like if you are stout curious, porter curious, if you like a left hand milk stout, Sam, I know you were digging the nitro left hand a couple weeks ago. Like if you like those sorts of things, something that's a little more chocolatey, a little more like little bits of vanilla, kind of not, I wouldn't say sweet, because it is not a sweet beer, but like if you are stout and porter curious, it is absolutely worth it.
Like nice. Baby's first dark beer vibes.
100% baby's first dark beer vibes.
Cool.
If you are enjoying Christmas sale season, try the Flannel Pajamas from Beguile.
Fuck yeah. Sam, why don't you tell us where the party's at and if you liked your beer or not?
The party is as far away from me as possible because it will wake up my children and I just can't deal with it right now. But what I had to drink was Supermoon Beer Company's yesteryear's Red Rye IPA, I should say. I fucking love a rye IPA. I love rye ale, honestly. And my main criticism of them usually is there's not enough rye, and this has lots of rye in it, and I love it because rye tastes so good. Most of the beers that Emily has picked for me for the beer advent calendar have been wacky stuff, but I think this one she picked because she just knew I would like it, and she was right because it's so good. I'm gonna give this an 8.5, and anyone who likes rye in their beer, you've got to try this because it's just like the perfect example of that, if that's your vibe.
Oh yeah. And I had Everything Nice by Brewery Omegang in New York, 9.0 ABV. It's a strong blonde with seasonal spices. You know, I still don't know what the fuck those spices were, but on the back it says cinnamon, ginger, nutmeg, cloves, and white pepper is allegedly what's in here. I don't know that any of that was anything in particular, but there was sort of a clear, punchy, earthy note that was spiced. So what else could it be? I really liked this. It really benefited from being heavily carbonated. Like, it stayed very fizzy over the course of this hour of pretty leisurely drinking, which it really benefited from. It stayed bright, didn't kind of overstay its welcome taste-wise on the palate. It kind of got in, got out. And 9.0 really was not overly boozy at all. I think this is a great If you want something else in the winter that is not a stout, not a dark beer, I think this is a great kind of winter blonde that I'm going to give like an 8.3. I've enjoyed this. I've had better things, but I really can't complain at all. I'm looking forward to having three more of these. I would recommend
An 8.3 is the lowest rating of the week. This is like maybe the most touted trio of beers. Probably not ever, because there's been so many fucking episodes of this goddamn bullshit, but in a while, at least.
Certainly in a long time.
It's a good little suite of beers.
We've done it. We've done it again. We're geniuses. We know what we like. I will try to order Smooge for my next appearance. I will try. I would
fucking love it if you had Smooge.
If
you had Smooge, I might just go right ahead and Smooge.
Oh my god, I'm gonna Smooge. So give me 2 weeks notice before I come on. It's a guarantee it does not sold here. I'm gonna have to ship it.
Just ship it.
I will
now, hard. Dude. We'll get you.
Smooge hard. Oh, smoothies. Smooge hard smoothies. It's just like Smooge hard. But you know who does always Smooge hard? If you want to Smooge with us, Smooge together, kind of co-Smooge with us, you can do so at brewstoos.com. You can send us things that make you Smooge, your list of top 10 things that make you Smooge, to brewstoostuesdaypodcast@gmail.com. And you can also blue sky us, whatever the verb is for that, at Brewsday Tuesday. Am I right? Did I do a good job?
Yeah, no, those were all correct. I mean, I haven't checked the blue sky in like 2 years, but so I might have lots of great Smooge links in there already. I'll have to check.
Put that in your Smooge bank at Bruce Tuesday at Blue Sky. And never look back. Don't let the bastards keep you down. And Sam, we'll see you next time. Sam, you don't know what you're drinking next time, so I won't ask you.
Right.
You neither of us, Christine nor Zach, will be on. So good luck. Good luck with Tyler, and good luck with all of that.
Oh, that Goodbye. Fucking guy. Bye.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Here comes a beer, catch all your tears. Drink the remedy, forget about your problems. Here comes a shot, lose all your thoughts. Drink the remedy, forget about your problems. This one's on me, fix you for free. Drink the remedy, forget about everything. This one's on me, got what you need. And take your medicine, you feel better.
I put the link into the Scottie Pippen video.
You gotta watch this fucking thing.
I'm in the chat. Listen, I'm just here to hang. Okay. Or is this the Scottie Pippen thing?
Yes, you have to watch this. I'll be very quiet.
You have to watch it, and you have to say out loud what you're seeing and what you're feeling, because it will be the outro of the podcast.
Oh, okay, so I was gonna give you a give you me doing an ad read for Smooge. Okay. Oh. Okay. Good song. I'm digging it. Oh. 1 6 foot. 1 2 3. Oh, the real stuff. Why would he dump it? Wow. Okay, you know what? Here, I'm gonna need to watch that again. and again. I'm gonna put that right in my Spooge game.